Indianapolis, Indiana.
USA.
You're listening to Forgotten Favorites.
Forgotten Favorites.
On the Worldwide Legend.
Hi, this is Pam Stevens, inviting you to join us each week for the Legend Country Club as we bring you 3 hours of classic country music. Join us this week as we go back to 1977.
But I was thinking how I'd love to get you alone for 1 hour. Statues without hearts, stones with no feeling.
To the Legend Country Club with me, Pam Stevens, Friday from 6 to 9 p.m. right here on the home of forgotten favorites, the Worldwide Legend.
Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern, it's the Tim Ani Show for 2 big hours right here on The Legend. Tim will let you know how you can request your favorite song. And during the second hour, Radio Tim counts down the top 10 songs from this week in 1967. Don't miss it. The Tim Ani Show, Thursday night, 8 p.m. Eastern on The Worldwide Legend.
It's Coffee Club time.
Now for the Wednesday Morning Coffee Club. Welcome to the Wednesday Morning Coffee Club with Bill and Jenny Sparks, Dave and Chris Reichard, Tim Ani, and the crew. Bill will be taking your phone calls and you will hear lots of conversation. We will have cooking tips, demonstrations of products, and much, much more.
And you may reach us by calling 1-646-558-8656. You will need the meeting ID 848-725-450. And when you're asked for a user ID, just press pound. You may download Zoom from the Play Store or the App Store.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, Bill Sparks.
Well, a very good Coffee Club Wednesday morning to you. It's Wednesday, January 2nd, 2019. I can finally say that date for the very first time. Just a couple quick things here, and we'll introduce everybody. If you're on the line and you're listening and you want to participate in the panel, no problem. You will, however, please keep your noise to a minimum, because we do record these as podcasts, and we would appreciate your cooperation. Otherwise, if you don't do that, one of the moderators will mute you or remove you from the room. So please, please, if you just hit the star 6 to mute yourself if you think you need to make some noise. Welcome, everyone. We're glad to be back. We had a week off last week. Jenny in the downstairs, how are you today?
I'm very well. It's a good day. House is warm since we had the new cold air return for Denver. It made a big difference.
A big, big, big difference. Boy, I'll be glad, though. Next week, maybe we'll have some natural warming. We're back in Naples. Maybe we'll get some natural warming. We shall see.
If they let you come back.
Oh, yeah. We had a little leak with the airline situation. But at least we're back. Let's see. Tim in Minnesota. Tim, how are you? Well, I thought
there helps to do that.
Okay,
I'm just fine. It's kind of cold here, but we're supposed to be getting into the 40s by Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. It's going to be probably one of the warmest parts of January I've ever seen here. So that'll be nice.
Very, very good. That'll be. Hang out for some of that good weather. We'll get back to you and talk about some of your Christmas presents in just a little bit, Tim. Let's see. Dave and Chris in Harrisburg, Altoona. No, it's Altoona, of course.
Well, we're doing well.
It was 60 here yesterday and 35 now.
Little in the chilly.
Tons of rain, but no snow, so that's a good thing.
No snow, and we'll get to some of your new devices and all of that in just a few moments. Anything else you want to say before I talk to some of the panelists here just a little bit before we get started?
Go right ahead.
We're good.
Let's see. I noticed Bill in Chicago.
Hey, Bill, how you doing? Happy New Year to you.
Same to you. How are things going there in the Windy City?
It's about 35 degrees here, and we're supposed to, like I said, winter storm warning with some freezing. It hadn't started yet, but we're supposed to be about 55 by Friday.
Very, very good.
So we're
going
to be up to warm weather. So.
Well. Yeah.
I got a quick question. You guys think this over. Last week we weren't on. So at the end of the year, or it was Christmas Eve, I listened to a radio station, Chicago, an AM station, that played the top 60 Christmas songs ever published and recorded. What was the number one and two? Anybody answer later on?
Okay, I think we could probably come up with something.
Just curious. I got here. Number one and two.
Yeah, I think we'll let people think about that, and maybe we can answer that. Let's see, and we'll get back to you, Bill. What about our friends from New Mexico, Joe and Ellen? How are you? Oh, they may be muted. Let's see. Are they muted, Dave?
Oh, hi. This is Joe with Joe and Ellen Fame here in Albuquerque, New Mexico. I didn't get a temperature yet. I just barely awake. But anyway, it is cold. We had some storms. Things are canceled here today. We were going to go to choir rehearsal. Choir rehearsal is canceled. And we were going to have a musical box lunch at church. That was canceled. So we're in for the whole day.
In for the whole day. Well, just enjoy. Relax, listen to some good radio or whatever you want to do, and just make the best of it. Ellen, how are you?
Oh, I'm doing all right. It's pretty much the same thing. You know, we've had a whopper of a storm, and so it's like, okay, we will be home all day, but then hopefully and perfectly tomorrow we will be back in the loop because we have to go to the bank to go get our rent paid, so no matter what happens, we still have to get out to do that.
Yeah, the landlord kind of wants their rent, don't they?
They have a conspiracy about that. You know?
They kind of want to rent. Some landlords are going to a direct deposit thing where they'll either take it from your account or they've got some way, you know, that that you can pay them online? Are there some ways, and some just do it the old-fashioned way, come and get their money?
Yeah.
Or, you know.
You can do it online, but some of it's just much easier just to go to the bank and go get the money over and take it over there.
And pay them the money, and that way you know they got it, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, I know. This used to rise to a level of crisis when I worked at the Social Security office, and somebody would be waiting. Of course, it's not so much now because 99.9% of everything is direct deposit of the checks. But it used to be the checks would come in the mail. And if there would be a mail delay or some issue and the third come and you don't have the money for your rent, that was a crisis situation. And
yeah.
I remember those days. Oh, yes. Now it's just a direct deposit. And actually, the nice thing, like when the third is on a Sunday, then the checks come in on direct deposit, of course, like on a Friday the first, and you check the account. Hooray! Hey, it's in there. And when my first wife, Ginny, she died on April 30th, 2015, and the worker said, they're going to take her Social Security check. So the first thing I at 5 in the morning, hey, the money's in. She was wrong. But then a couple of days later, when they got the notice of her death, they snatched it like a...
Well, it always used to fall, Joe, that in order for a deceased person's family to qualify for those benefits, they had to live through the entire month. And unfortunately, whether she had passed away on the 1st or 30th, it would have been the same thing, unfortunately.
Uh-huh.
You know, and that's just kind of the way things are. And it's unfortunate that way, but there has to be a cutoff, and there's no prorating of benefits. So it was just kind of that way, you know, and it's just the way, I guess, it's always worked with Social Security, that, you know, in order for the survivors to collect, you had to live through the entire month, whether it was, you know, but, you know.
So what did they do if mail was delayed or something like that and people couldn't make their rent? Would they send a notice to the rental companies or something?
Not usually, as a rule, no. Back in those days, we had to allow 3 days for a mail delay, which was the 6th of the month. Then at that point, back in the old days, it wasn't quite as humane. You waited those 3 days. You called in and you reported your check not there. And usually if there was a non-receipt of a check, it usually meant there was address issues or there was some other reason that the check might be in a suspense status or whatever, or it was returned by the post office. But like I said, with the advent of direct deposit, and unless somebody would A, give us a wrong account number, or B, have their account closed for some reason, then that became an issue. But
go ahead.
No, you go ahead, Ellen. Go ahead.
I had a situation years ago where my roommate made out the bills and the rent and all that, and I had that situation where I had to wait for the check to come into the mail, and it just turned out to be a misunderstanding because she went ahead and did that. I hadn't gone to the bank yet, and so it's like, okay, things just kind of got a little mixed up. But it worked out in the long run. But the problem with that is, some landlords, they have you have a 5-day grace period, but if you end up having to pay on the 6th, you're stuck with a late fee. So it's like, but nowadays with direct deposit, it's much easier.
Right, and, you know, the direct deposit. It's so important that, you know, if you're in doubt of how to do that direct deposit, either, you know, go someplace to the bank or get somebody that you know that knows how to sign you up correctly. But the direct deposit was a really, really, really key thing, which changed things. But in answer to your question, Jennifer, sometimes we would issue an emergency payment. The landlord usually didn't care anything so much about the letter. They just wanted their payment. And, you know, if they had been a good renter in the past, usually those weren't the issues. But, you know, the big cities, there was just always issues. Sometimes we had issues where mail trucks were stolen. You know, the trucks were stolen or broken into. Or sometimes the post office would just misplace bags, or there would be something. I remember one time we had to work overtime because for whatever reason they lost every check going to Evansville, Indiana that was by mail.
Oh my,
you talk about working overtime in our service area. We had to work and work and work because people were frantic. This was their payment. They had to have their Social Security payments. And this telling them, well, it'll take 7 to 10 days to get your payment replaced, when you got people paying the utility bills, their food, you know, that were just all kinds of issues, medical issues. This was a bad situation. And you talk about learning to how to have to do good customer service, because that was very stressful and hard to do when you're telling somebody they're not going to get their payments for 7 to 10 days. You can't blame them for being unhappy. I mean, I would be too. And this was a real, real, real issue.
I had a problem one time where somebody, that was when they were coming by mail, the checks were coming by mail, and somebody stole the check out of the mailbox and went to the local store and tried to cash it. Fortunately, the people in the grocery store knew that that wasn't correct, and they called us on the phone. And they took the check from them, and we got it back.
You know, but some of these people, I mean, this was what they had to live on, and that check was gone. I mean, it was trouble. And, you know, it was full-blown crisis mode. And I know Bill in Chicago, I'm going to tell you, they're on the south side. There used to be a lot of issues with Social Security checks, and so...
Yeah, I agree with you. Of course, I never took Social Security until I retired, but I know they were stolen a lot of times on a mailbox, or they'd rob the mail truck.
Right.
Or they'd rob the mailman on the way, because I know a mailman that he quit delivering mail because he kept getting robbed all the time right around the first of the month.
Right, so that means
Social Security checks.
This direct deposit has been the most wonderful thing. Or if they don't do direct deposit, I think they put it on some type of a card.
Does
or
Social Security now demand a direct deposit?
Yes.
I don't think they even send checks out anymore, I don't think, do they?
Well, they do in some cases if there is not an account available. Some people, unfortunately, get to a point to where they can't have a bank account. And so they have to set up some type of a debit card or something.
Yeah, because they have a debit card system too now.
Yeah.
That they could. Yeah, I think right. I mentioned when I got Social Security, I took it out early. But I took early Social Security because I figured I'm going to get my money out of the Social Security before it goes broke.
Right.
And I started taking Social Security at 62, but it's still working. But I know later on when I turned 65. I got a letter stating that they did have a debit card if I wanted now, but I didn't want the debit card.
So
I can see your point. That would really frustrate people with the rent.
Oh yeah,
like Ellen and Joe was saying about their renter, or maybe with Jennifer, somebody talking about their renter. Well, you know, I rent a property there in Indianapolis, and I guess I'm kind of a good landlord because I really don't push the guy long to get to the month rent sometime that month.
No, and
yeah.
You know,
he's a good tenant. He's been in there about 10, 15 years now, so I mean, I don't.
Right.
Only get to tell me before the end of the month. Yeah, I don't care.
You know, I learned a long time ago, and this took, and I know we got a raised hand, but I learned a long time ago, and this took a while after I started working for Social Security. You can't judge everybody by your own standards because everybody does things differently, and, you know, you just. Kind of learned to live with the phone. We got Joe or Ellen. I wasn't looking at the phone number. I just saw the 505 come up. Which one of you has a raised hand?
It's me. It's Ellen.
Go ahead, Ellen.
I was just, you know, you were talking about that situation. My friend David, he doesn't use banks. So what he does is his money goes onto a card and then he has to go to another source. Because he lives in one of those rural areas, and so he has to go over there to, I think it Grants or Through, which is kind of out in the middle of nowhere, and take care of his check and ask for cash and go take care of his business. But that, to me, would be a pain in the, pain in the behind.
The other thing that they used to bug me at the Social Security office as a former, you know, working there was these check cashing services that would charge these people extra money for cashing their check or some type of fees they would tack on to them.
Like the currency exchange.
Right, right. I used to hate that place. I hated when they would call in. Because they would demand information that we could not give to them, and they just thought they could do anything. That currency exchange in the Chicago. Whew. The other thing that used to bug us at the office was what it was called, the representative payee. Now, I'm sure 99% of them were good, but there were some people that would receive benefits for other people. And just misuse that money so. Oh, used to really, really bug me. But, yeah, Bill, you mentioned a name that didn't trigger too good of memories there on the currency exchange in Chicago, the way that they used to do some of these people. And, I mean, I'm
sure. Oh, yeah, they charge you like $10, $12 to cash a $200 check or whatever it was. I just use that as an example.
Right, you know, right, you know, right. I don't.
We knew some. Somebody that got charged by the bank to cash their check, though.
Yeah.
Well, some banks would if you didn't have an account there. If it was a government, I know some banks here.
It's a government check, though.
Right. If it was a government check, they still charge you because they don't have an account. Because, you know, their theory is they got the processing fee they got to do. They got to pay the cashier that's at the window and that kind of stuff. Because I remember when I was buying my house, I got down back when I started buying 65 and I had a 5% mortgage back then, and I got down to a low amount, and my interest payment to the bank at that time like was 80 cents a month, and they wanted me to pay that thing off so bad, but I said I'd offer them cash payment out, and they wouldn't take it, so I just kept paying it month by month.
Well, there you go.
What
man.
I used to do, sorry about that. What I used to do was just go and deposit my check, and then if I had any money orders that I need to make out, or if I had checks, then I could go ahead and make, you know, do my transactions that way. But it was much easier back then to just deposit the check and go from there.
Well, that was a way you could do it without getting charged or anything. You know, if you deposit it.
Yeah, exactly.
True, and that was a good thing. Chris, you might want to give out that phone number in case somebody wants to join us before we switch topics here.
I can do that. It is 646-558-8656. That's 646-558-8656. Press pound. When you're asked for the meeting ID, it is 848-725-450. That's 848-725-450. Press pound again. And when you are asked for a user ID, just press pound again, and you will be in the room with everybody else.
Well, magically, we ask, and we have Dick from Milwaukee. Good morning,
hello,
Richard.
There.
Have you have something to contribute to the conversation or a question?
I've got to tell you, what really used to anger me was the way banks would close checking accounts and not tell their recipients.
Oh, many a time, yes.
That really would anger me because that was so unfair to those people because they didn't know. And these are basically SSI people, and my God, they had were living hand to mouth for the most part. And that really would get
oh, that would there's a, well, it had the wrong account number on it, or it had something. Instead of calling them and working that problem out, because I know they could, Dick, because I've dealt with many a bank that went above and did the right thing and contacted the claimant and said, hey, there's a problem here. Let's get this problem fixed. But a lot of the big banks, and then you couldn't call anybody to get the problem fixed. I know that used to...
Ooh, that angered me.
Yeah, and that happened a lot. You know, they would just return those checks. Or sometimes, if there were these specialty... Oh, I don't know. These people that had these stock accounts or different type of money management or those type of accounts, those used to have all kinds of problems, too, with the bank. But most of them was people would put the last four digits on a check, and they'd put the check number in the account number, or they didn't read, you know, the nine digits of the bank routing number. Oh. Hmm. Maybe Dick didn't like that answer. but seriously, it was a problem, you know, that they did that. So I guess we'll switch on to our next topic. Jenny and I gave away one present, but we got ourselves something new for Christmas this year. Not that we needed it. I think it's just because we like change or to do something different. We got it is for cooking, and this is called, what is it, Jenny? An air fryer.
An air fryer oven.
Oven, and it's air fry oven plus, and the word
power air fry oven.
Yeah, power air fry oven plus, and I got this on sale at Walmart, and I suppose there are other, of course, other places too. They were just more expensive, but it's important that when you go there to get this oven, if you do, that you insist and check on the box and make sure it says plus, because if you don't, you will get a unit that does not have buttons. And in our world, touch screens just don't work so well. So anyway, after that first little mistake, we took it back and got this power air fry oven. Now, this oven looks like most of your air fryer ovens, with the exception when it's got a door on it, and when you open it up, you have racks that you can put your food on. Now, as we found out last night, there's also a basket that you can put in that will rotate around and make maybe your cooking just a little bit more even. But this particular unit has the temperature button on the left, which up and down, which are tactile buttons. And then it has like a French fry button that you can push if you're doing French fries. Or you can do a steak, you can do fish, you can do chicken. And you can do bake a cake in this particular oven. We'll talk about that in a moment. And then there's something where you can hit a button and put your chicken on a spit and rotate it. Now, in my feeling, it's just about as easy to go down here and pay $5 and get a chicken. But that is an option. But this unit goes
up. Oh, and you can also dehydrate fruit or vegetables if you wanted to do that.
You can,
or probably make jerky.
Yeah, yes, yeah. You could do that also. So this unit not only is an oven, but you can also, cook things at a high temperature. Our first test was French fries. Those came out really well. I put them on the rack, but the next time I'll put them in the basket and let it spin around. The unit is very, very, very easy to clean, exceedingly easy to clean. You know, you just take the racks out and wipe them off and go. It also has a dip tray. I've never tried a steak in there yet, nor have I tried chicken parts, but I've watched enough YouTube videos to know that that would be one of the options. Some of the reviews said the unit had some issues with hot plastic smell, but this one has not yet so far, so I think that part is okay. Not only can you take out the racks or the drip tray, but you can take the door off if you want to clean it. So it's a very easy unit to clean. It is dishwasher safe, so you can put your basket, you can put any of your utensils, or you can put the racks or the dip tray in the dishwasher if you want to do that. And if something would stick to it, like it did this morning, you can take that thing and put it in the sink under some soapy water for just a few minutes and it comes right off. It's very, very easy to clean. Jennifer, are you going to say anything about that besides my screw-up this morning?
I'm going to say that we've done bacon in it a couple times, and it really makes it nice and crisp, and it doesn't splatter everywhere. The grease gets in the drip tray, and that's about it. I was surprised. I thought it would be a mess inside the oven.
This unit was on sale at Walmart, and I think it still is, for $119. So if that's something that might interest you, I'm not saying this is the best one out there on the market. It's a very versatile. We're going to talk about another one soon that's a oven-based one.
Walmart.com has that too, by the way.
Do they? Walmart.com has it, and you can get it in, several different colors. But the key thing to remember is plus. If you can use the digital screen, more power to you. But the buttons are the key. I've downloaded, and I'm sharing with Dave and Chris, is the manual. They have a very wonderful, accessible manual that you can use with this particular device. So the cooking times, it takes about 15 minutes for French fries, about 24 minutes for chicken wings. The nice thing about it also is you can cook and about maybe 10-15 minutes into the thing, you can stop it. You don't even need to stop it. Just open up the door, take your basket or whatever out and or the tray and rotate the chicken or turn it over if you want to and put it back in and it just picks right back up where it left off without you having to stop.
Well, the nice thing like you did the other day with the racks is you can cook more than one thing at once.
Yeah, what did I cook?
You took the French fries and the chicken that one night.
Yeah, I had some chicken, those Heartland chicken that Dave and Chris have talked about. And I cooked those on one rack and French fries on the other. So that's something you can do, or wedge potatoes, whatever. And you can judge your times accordingly and take something out and mix match. I don't know about this fruit, drying out of fruit or that type of issue. I just don't know much about that. I've never done that. That would fall under Chris's expertise to do that. I know Mike, he's not here today, but he got one of those type of oven that rotates chickens. So, you know, that's an option. But just to put that stuff
dizzy
together.
Dizzy chicken. We're all going to have dizzy chickens.
Yeah.
There you go.
But
you know, the only thing about the rotisserie ovens is the one we had anyway, it was so hard to get the chicken on there right, and then the legs would hit the door, and it was just, I don't know, I couldn't seem to do it right.
Well, the other thing that I'll say about that is, and one guy made the comment, and I think it's pretty accurate, it takes about a 4-pound chicken. Well, it's hard to find a 4-pound chicken all the time. Sometimes they're bigger, whatever the case may be. Now, the problem we had this morning was, I said, all right, Jennifer, I'll get up 15 minutes early, fix your scones for you. I'm still playing around with the time with the convection oven because that cooks things a little faster. But what could I put those on? Because they tend to stick to the rack a little bit, the wire rack.
People, well, you could use that release foil maybe, but you'd have to cut some slits in it. The other thing is, they make a, what do you call it? It's like a mesh. It's like a plastic mesh, but it is for ovens. And it has a hard, solid border around it that's silicone covered, so it's sort of like a mesh cookie sheet. And that would probably work.
Yeah, it's something.
They're called crispers.
Crispers?
Yeah.
I'll look something like that up. But that would be the only drawback, I would say, is that might be a little bit of an issue. But
well, and I'm thinking, unless they make other pans for it that we don't know about, you really wouldn't. It would be hard to put to bake a cake in there because you couldn't do it on those racks because the batter would be everywhere.
But you can put pans in there. I've read that. If you can find a pan. Now, this particular oven does not take a 9 by 13. It's big enough. It can hold up to, what do they say, 2.5 to 3 pounds of air fried food. So, but it's not that shape to where we'll be talking about one of those soon enough, and that will. But this one does not. The other point I'm going to say is when I was there at Walmart looking, I was amazed in just a little over the year or two that I started looking at these things, how the stores or the companies have come out with a lot more accessible ovens and other devices that can be used by us. I thought, oh, everything's gone to touch. No, that's not true at all. They've not gone that way. So it's something that, you know, I'm seeing these with dials and big knobs with pointers that can be marked. So I think that's a welcome change.
You guys are making me hungry.
Well, it doesn't
you take...
You
get those crispers at Walmart, Bill, because I've seen them.
Okay. Yeah, QVC has them, too. They have two different sizes. They come two in a pack, and you get one big one and one small one.
So you can get those crispers. Yeah, you know.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, for someone who maybe needs to save some counter space and needs to maybe cook a couple things at one time to alleviate, you know, or maybe they just don't want to fire up one oven and cook and, you know, heat up the whole place. Those are...
And it's more powerful than we have a toaster oven that's a convection oven, and it's more powerful than the convection oven in the toaster.
Well, these are about 1,700 watts. Anything from 1,700 to 1,800 watts is pretty powerful. I think Dave will tell you that. The Cook Essentials, what are they, Dave? Are they 1,700 or 1,800?
Yeah, they're... Some of them are 18, some are 17.
Right. I think the new ones might be 17. I'm not sure.
But so the trend may be going to not one big basket, but I've seen a lot of these going to these rack-type designs or designs where you can maximize the space a little bit. This seems to be a trend, and we're going to be talking about in your next hour, you're going to be demonstrating one of the newer devices. Well, maybe it's not a new device. It's been around a while, but this grill, you know, you're going to be talking about that in the next hour. But that's the one thing that we got that stands out, that is something that if you got somebody coming up with a birthday or whatever the case may be, Chris is our poster. I'll send her this information and she'll post this to the mailing list. So if you want to keep up on these things, go to the website at legendoldies.com and click and join our coffee club mailing list and see what, you know, we've got to say. And we'll,
Bill, does that basket, when you put that in, does it go in long ways or does it go?
It goes in long ways, Dave.
Long ways from right to left?
Right to left, yes.
Okay.
Goes right to left. It looks like you can put a pretty considerable amount of them. And when you put that basket in there, then you hit the rotate button and the rotation allows then for it to perhaps, and I haven't tried this yet because I didn't know about it till yesterday, that allows those French fries to kind of spin around, or potato tots or potatoes that you cut up or whatever the case may be.
Something very delicate I would think you wouldn't want to put in there.
No, Jennifer, it doesn't go like that. It's not like it's going to tumble it around like a dryer or something like that. So being delicate wouldn't really make any difference.
It just makes it cook more evenly.
Right. The other thing is, down at the bottom of the unit, not only does it have a power button, but the button on the left is a light button. So for the sighted people or whatever the case may be, there's a light so you can actually see what's cooking in the oven. And that's important to people so they can see through the glass or whatever. Not for us so much, but then it has that button that makes the basket rotate also down there. So over and all, I would give this a thumbs up with the limitation somewhat of space that you could not do a 9x13 pan like Chris so fondly loves to do. And the pizza size would be limited to about a 10-inch pizza. But I did cook two pizzas in there on the rack so that Jennifer could have one and I could have one at the same time. And that was relatively... The other thing is these new ovens, they don't tell you to preheat them. Just fire it up and roll.
Bill, when you put two pizzas in there and you use two different racks, did you have to change them halfway through or not?
I did not.
Okay.
And they were crispy enough. Now, would you have to? I don't know.
Well, but probably with convection you wouldn't, but I was curious.
But no, I did not have to do that. So I just didn't have to do it. They came out just fine. The pizzas were crispy. You know, they were just fine. Now, those pizzas were those individual pizzas you get from Swan's. I don't know. Do they sell 10-inch pizzas at the store?
Oh, yeah.
You can get 10, 12, 8, whatever. And Swan's has some bigger ones, too.
Now, Dave Rieger, 10-inch pizza. That's nothing.
Mine had to be about 48.
Right, you'd have to have two or three of them.
We'd have to cut it in half and put it on two racks.
Yeah. So I would rate that experience as a 5+. One other thing, let me see where we're at time-wise here. I get talking and I don't think.
It's about a quarter till.
Right. I've got two more topics I need to cover. Tim, didn't you say you had a Christmas present that you got that you really liked?
Yeah, I got they're a pair of headphones. They call sleep headphones for sleeping, and they're earbuds, but they're real tiny. They fit way inside the ear, and they sound great. Well, that's what I'm using right now for a microphone. I think the microphone actually has pretty good sound too.
Yes, it's on.
For a headset. And anyway, they were something that Laura found on Amazon. I can't remember the brand name right offhand.
But if you just type in headphones for sleeping, maybe on Amazon you'll be able to find those?
Yeah, I think that would work, yeah.
Now, do you have any idea what the price range of these might be?
I think they were only around $12 or $13.
Oh, so it's reasonable enough. And I hope I did say the price on that oven was $119. That was on sale. Yeah. They're normally $159. But anyway, $12 or $13, you can, you know, a lot of times I want to play my device at night to go to sleep by, and I'll have to play it out loud because I notice sometimes some of the pillow speakers or they're just not amplified or you... Maybe it's because of my hearing. I don't know. But I don't hear them as well under the pillow. You can't get enough volume out of them. So,
I like the Sea Crane pillow speaker, but the problem I've had two of them, and the cord dries out right near the speaker itself, and it gets real brittle.
I like those Sea Crane speakers too, but so does the cat.
Yeah, he's destroyed.
He's destroyed several of them.
Well, so you don't have a chance to wait for your cord to dry out.
That's right. He takes care of it.
He's doing you a favor.
He's right.
So, you know, that's a good practical gift that you can use, you can reuse. I mean, you know, that $12 or $13 price range is very affordable, and if it's comfortable to you, some people don't want things in their ears overnight, and the pillow speakers are an option, or they turn things low, but you don't always want to put your Victor Stream under your pillow either, because, well, you could hit buttons, or I don't know, and sometimes I'll use an Amazon Tap, but they don't have the earphone that you could use to do that, so... That can cause a problem. I like these devices because they have sleep timers.
And now the Dot does have the headphone jack.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. And you
definitely appreciate it. I use mine a lot.
Yeah, that's something. That reminds me of a subject I'm going to talk about before our last topic of this hour, and that is last week. We didn't know it at the time, but it was maybe it's Monday and Chris and Dave's show. All of a sudden, I started getting calls about people not being able to receive the Legend on Amazon or whatever. And it was really, and we never realized how many Dot Amazon listeners or Google Home listeners that actually listen to the Legend or these, you know, Amazon-powered or Google-based speakers. And I got to thinking about it, and we were off for 3 days until we got the problem fixed. And ultimately what the problem was our internet or our service provider for our stream changed the stream and didn't let us know. Changed the stream address. And that was causing a problem. Some devices would connect and some wouldn't on the forwarding. So once we got the problem fixed, and we've got the problem fixed now, and we're good with TuneIn, and that's not a problem, but People told me they really did appreciate the legend when they could get it back again, but you can't blame people for having a device and not having to fire up a computer if they didn't need to, or, you know, to be able to listen. So, and I'm sure Tim appreciates that, so does Dave and myself. When you're doing a show,
really?
You have to have listeners. So, and you know, that is a good thing. Another listener contacted me with a problem they were having. And maybe you guys have better experience, and I'm going to lean on you guys. But somebody with perhaps maybe a little bit of issues, not being able to, the muscle in her hands, might not be as good as somebody like a Chris or Dave or whoever. I can't put myself in that category. But they have a challenge putting a leash on their pet dog in order to take it outside to, you know, to go to the restroom. And they have to be careful because their fence is so-so or whatever. They can let the dog out. So what we've got her doing now is, you know, once somebody puts the leash on, then the leash stays on the dog. But otherwise, letting the dog go outside and run and come back to her if it will. Any suggestions on how maybe we can help her with, not a guide dog, I guess the same principles would apply. I don't know that, I'm not a dog expert. Do dogs like being twirled around on a leash to go to the restroom, or do they want that
some
freedom?
Dogs will, some won't. But what I would do, that place I was trying to think of last night is PetSmart. And I would call, if I were her, and see when a good time to bring her dog in would be, and maybe they can help her find a collar and a leash with a larger trigger snap. It might be easier if the trigger snap was big. I know we had a poodle, and his collar and leash was tiny, and so his trigger snap was tiny, but there are some bigger ones out there.
Yeah, and I was thinking if she didn't want to, I know people get paranoid about the chains, but if she didn't want a chain collar, they surely might have a, it's a small dog, but maybe if she could find a collar that had a bigger ring to attach the leash to, that might make it easier too to find it.
Yeah, and a chain collar, you just don't have to pull on it is all, if you don't like it.
One thing that I remember is years ago, and I don't know if they still have them, but seeing the leashes that they sent out with when people got dogs from them had a, like, the Sammy, please stop that, had a little clip, I mean, that you could use. I mean, it has like a finger.
Yeah, like a lot of lead ropes have.
Yeah.
Had the little thing that you could push, slide down, slide back, and so you could open the.
Yeah, but it was
then when you
easy
let
to do
go over there.
It was a little bigger than most of mine.
Yeah, because is there trouble with the strength in her fingers and that to pull
right.
the trigger switch, or
right,
the ring
right.
is just too small?
Right. Well, it could be like a little bit of both, too.
Yeah,
part of it is control of the muscles in her fingers.
That's
and getting,
I mean,
it, getting them steady enough that she can keep them still long enough to do it.
Well, yeah, because she used, like, what you call the, well, they call, you call them choke chains, I don't know what they call them now, but that's where you just leave it hooked to the leash constantly, and all you do is slide the chain up through the ring and make a loop and just slide over the dog's head. It's always hooked. If she can,
I mean, you could show her to put it on the dead ring, because ours used to, the ones that we used to have on guide dogs had a dead ring that you could attach it to that wouldn't pull the chain tight.
Right, right.
So yeah, and I'm not, like I said, I am nowhere near a dog expert. I'm more of a cat person, but, you know, I just don't know, but I know there needs to come up with a solution. I remember back many years.
You can't really leave the leash on the dog all the time, though, especially if it's a puppy, because they might chew it up.
Well, that's true. And when
or get caught on something in the house, you don't know it.
For our toy poodle, we have a harness, but that's because he can't have a collar around his throat. He has, well, some kind of a problem with swallowing and things like that. But anyway, it has a little clip, I mean, or ring that's on the back of the harness, right up on top of his back. And that kind of thing might help her.
Right. Something, it seems like many years ago, Tim, when we had the Siamese cats, they were trying to go out the front door. And some way or another, we went to the pet store. We got a little collar that we put on them. And we put a little transmitter device there by the door. And if they tried to run out, they got a little bit of a zap. Now, I don't know if they do that anymore, if that's inhumane.
Yeah, they still make those collars.
Yeah, they still have those.
It's a wireless fence for dogs. In other words, if you got a property where you don't have a, can't put a fence up, they have those wireless fences. You just put the stakes in the ground or something. No, you lay a wire on the ground. But
well,
it's not visible to anybody else. Yeah, I know, but
battery
for a whole big transmitter. Yeah. Right, for a whole big property, they've got them still.
The disadvantage to the wireless fences is if the dog is out there and some other dog comes into the yard, there's nothing to stop that dog from doing that.
That's true.
That's true, too.
But in this particular case, there's a fence. Could they use that little transmitter thing like we had? I can't remember.
If they could keep it from getting wet, they could set it up in the fence where they don't want it to go, and if it got too close to it. But they'd have to be able to probably keep it from getting wet unless they make one for outdoors.
I don't know, but it's something we did. But the problem was, it wasn't us. The problem was the employee, when we were running the radio store back in those days, the employee loved cats so much, she thought it was the wrong thing to do, and she would disable the transmitter. Well, then out goes the cat. So we didn't want the cat going out to the street, because every time you'd open up the door, that cat would sneak around and out it would go.
Oh, yeah, and she'd completely take the collar off, and we wouldn't know it. There, the cat would be outside, and I'd find him out there without his collar on.
And
I got rid of her.
We finally did. But the cat, I don't know, it would sneak, and they're not the easiest things to get back in, you know, because they kind of got a mind of their own. And you'd be out there in the rain trying to call the cat, and the cat would be hiding or right there around you, and you not know it. So what about, do they make bells or tags that are loud that she could hear this dog when it's outside?
Oh, yeah,
outside?
Make bells.
Oh, yeah.
That would work or some way. But if you have it called in today, if you want to send me a suggestion at bill@billsparks.org, you know, I'll pass these along to her, because I am not a dog expert, like I said.
Question for Tim.
Okay.
I was looking on Amazon, Tim. Does Cozy Phone or Max something ring a bell for your sleep phones? Max Rock.
Trying to remember what Laura said. I think Cozy Phone might be it.
Okay, well, I was just trying to help people if they wanted them.
Yeah, I can have Laura look here in a little while when she comes in.
Cozy Phone, and that would be something that would be very, very good.
Those are the two that I saw with kind of similar prices.
Speaking of toy poodles, you guys should probably get tug of war with one of his Christmas toys.
I thought maybe you were talking about collars and upset him.
Yeah.
No, but he did come down when I mentioned, well, toy poodles. I think he realized that I was talking about him, I guess.
Oh, today's Thunder's birthday, by the way.
How old is Thunder today?
28.
Wow. 28.
She's an old bird.
Old bird? She was born.
That's the dog?
No, that's the bird.
Oh, the bird. Okay. I didn't know which one of them.
No, we don't have a dog. We have a cat and a bird.
Let's see here. I better
that
get
could be her. Interesting.
Yeah, it's about 10 o'clock, more or less.
Does the cat bother the bird?
No.
No?
Oh, you should have heard, though, when we first brought the cat home, the bird screamed. I mean, it was pure terror. She thought her days were limited.
Oh, I bet she did.
Oh, she was highly upset. Can't believe you brought one of those things home.
Oh, real quick before you go to something else. I did get modern over Christmas. My son-in-law gave me a Google.
A Google Home, one of those Google devices.
Right.
Hey, you can listen to the legend on there,
too. We're going to demo some of the things we got in the next few weeks.
Yeah, they're going to be doing that over the next few weeks. And I just a couple notes here. You're listening to the Worldwide Legend, the Coffee Club, more specifically. And if for whatever reason you've missed this wonderful broadcast, I can't imagine why. I don't know why life gets in the way. I mean, I just can't understand it. But if you're one of those rare people that actually miss the show, that have a life, that really have something going on, or have a job, or you want somebody to listen, you can go to legendoldies.com and click on our podcast, and you can download the latest version of this podcast. It will be shortly posted right after the show, and our past coffee clubs that we've got are up there. And let's see. So just do that if you need to do that. These broadcasts are available, because saying all that to say this, we've got an exciting demo coming up here, and Chris and Dave will be doing that here in just a moment. And Chris and Dave, I'm going to turn it over to you. If you have any words, just sit back and relax for a few minutes, guys, and listen to a demo, especially if you like to cook some meat or grill something or something that's simple but is outstanding.
Well, what we're going to do today is a Breville Smart Grill. And before we get into the demo, and we did talk about this in the demo, but one of the most important things that we found with this grill is at the very bottom of the front of the grill, there's a little drawer that you pull out. That is your grease tray. And unlike some of the other grills where that tray can slide all over the place, this doesn't. Now, we do talk about it, but when we were doing the demo, we had forgotten about it until
we didn't do it during during the physical description, but we did do it later. And the demo, for those of you who might want to know, it's about 32 minutes.
So, as we say, have your second, third cup of coffee or a cup of hot chocolate. Enjoy that. But if you're interested in really making your life easier in the kitchen, I think you'll find this demo of some interest for this high quality product. And let me tell you, the cleanup and the mess on your counters is right there, is one of the most well worth it. So I'm going to shut up now. That's a good thing. And I'm going to play this demo, and we'll see you in about 30 minutes.
Hello, everyone. Well, today we are going to demonstrate the Breville Smart Grill, obviously by Breville. The first thing I will do is let Chris give you the information about this product.
This is the Breville 1800 watt Smart Grill. It does have dials and so forth, so it's very accessible. It is, let's get to the model number over here. It is model BGR, that's Bravo Golf Romeo,
820XL. That's its model number. You can go to Breville.com. That's Breville.com to see what all they have. They're also available on Amazon. Some of them are available on QVC, depending on what you want. This one is available on Amazon. The Breville number, should you want to talk to them, is 866-273-8455. That's 866-273-8455. Its cost is, it varies. It depends on what day you look at Amazon. I think we got it for $239. Today it's showing $299. I'm sure it'll come back down. After it comes down, I'm sure it'll go back up. So you're just going to have to check the price and see what it happens to be at the moment. We should tell you it comes with one grill plate, and that's the plate with the ribs. They call it a ribbed plate, and one flat plate. So what you might want to do, because you need one for the top and one for the bottom, and you can use the two plates like it comes. You can use either or on the bottom or the top. But what we did was we ordered an extra ribbed plate and an extra flat plate, and that way we can use two flat plates or two ribbed plates.
Okay, when you take this grill out of the box, it will be closed, and there'll be some packing inside of it. So what you'll want to do is to find the handle. It's got a big handle on the front of the grill, and lift the panel up. And you'll want to take all of the packing out of there, because there's some cardboard and all kinds of stuff in there, and you want to make sure that you get all that stuff out of there. Now, there will be two plates, as Chris said, already on the grill. And you probably will have to remove those plates, because there will be some packing around the grill plates. So, anyway, the first thing I wanted to let you know is the approximate dimensions of the grill. With the grill closed, it's 15 by 7 by 15. Now, that would be the 7 inches from front to back and the 15 inches the other ways.
It stands up when it's closed, or it can.
And, yeah, that's one of the nice things about this grill.
The 7 is with it standing up. That's why it's front to back. That's why it's narrow, because it's standing up.
Okay. So, today we're going to be doing some steaks on this grill. And so, that's what the purpose of doing the demo with today. Now, the grill has a flat top with a nice smooth finish on it. And at the very front of the grill, there's a great big handle. I mean, you can't miss this handle. It goes the whole way from right to left on the front of the grill, on the front of the top of the grill. Okay. Now, underneath that handle, on the right-hand side, you will find, I put this recorder in my pocket, you will find a, just right directly underneath the handle, you will find a button. And what that is for is when you open the grill, when you lift the handle on the grill, and you press the button to the right, you'll see the button. And right below it, there's like a little ridge. So anyway, what you're going to do is you're going to press the button to the right, and that allows you to be able to remove the top plate. Okay, and that is on the front of the top of the grill. Okay, now, if I take my hands, I'm going to keep my hands on the right-hand side of the handle and follow it going from front to back. I'm on the right-hand side of the handle. I'm going to come to it's like a little ridge that sticks up, and it's headed to the right. from the handle, and just past that is a slide control. Now, when the unit is closed, you can push the slide control back just a little bit, and that locks that handle so that the lid won't open, so you can stand this grill up for storage. Pretty amazing. Also, on the right-hand side of the grill, clear down at the bottom of the grill, on the right-hand side, there is a big knob. And what the knob is for, if you turn it clockwise, allows the grill to set straight. Like if you're making pancakes or something like that. And if I turn it counterclockwise, it tilts the grill towards the back, because there's a grease tray, which I'll get to in a little bit here.
Instead of being like the Foreman's and having it run off the front, this one runs it off the back.
Right. Okay. So I'm going to still keep my hands. I'm going to bring my hands down, and I'm going to see where the top of the grill and the bottom of the grill come together. That's, you'll see where the two plates sort of mesh together when it's closed. And I'm going to come down below that, and I'm on the very front of the grill. I'm going to start with the right-hand side of the bottom part of the grill on the front. I'm going to see a big knob, and it kind of works like a radio, you know, the old-fashioned radio, you know, where you turn it on and it clicks, and then you can turn it up and down. That controls the temperature of the grill. And then bringing my hands over to the left, because I'm going from right to left, there's a digital display. And then right past the digital display is another knob, and that is a timer. Now, the timer does not control the grill. You set that, you know, like if you put a steak on and you think it might take 9 minutes or 8 minutes, you would, the knob is spring-loaded. So if you flip it clockwise one time and just let it go, in other words, just click, click, click. If you just do that one time, that sets the time for 1 minute. So if you wanted 9 minutes, you just flip it, let it go, flip it, let it go, up until you get to nine. And then right in the center of the knob, there's a little button, and you press that, and that starts that timer.
Be aware that whenever your timer goes off, the grill does not shut down.
No, you have to manually turn the first knob that we were talking about on the right to turn it off. You turn it counterclockwise till it clicks, just like you were turning off an old-fashioned radio, and it'll click, and the grill will be off. So when you turn that knob on the far right, when you turn it, it'll stop. It'll only go so far, and it'll click, and then it'll stop. If you keep trying to turn it, it's going to stop. It won't go any farther. That means the grill is off. Now, bringing my hands on over to the left, the whole way across, there's a big space past the digital display and the knobs, and I'm going to come to another button. It's kind of like the first button we talked about on the top of the grill, where you press it and you release the plates. This button releases the bottom plate.
You're going to press it to the left.
So you're going to press it to the left, and with the grill open, obviously. You're going to open it up, press the button to the left. And so the first thing you have to do to open it up is come over to the top right, the top of the grill. We want that slide control that's on the top of the right, the top right. And you're going to pull that forward just a little bit so you can open the grill. And you can fold it back so the top grill plate is slanted back, and the bottom plate is, well, it's almost flat. I have it, that knob on the side of the grill turned so that it slants towards the back, because that's the way we're going to be using it. Okay. And if I take, for example, we'll use the bottom button on the far right on the front panel, the far right button, and I'm going to push it to the left, and that will allow me to pick up on the front of the grill plate, the bottom grill plate, and pull it forward, and that grill plate will come out. I can put it, we can put it in a dishwasher, or we can manually clean it, whatever we want to do with it. And to put it back, on the back of that grill plate, there are little tabs.
Rubberized.
They're like rubberized tabs on the back of the grill. And so what you're going to do is you're going to line the plate up with those tabs and then slide it back in there and then drop it down, and that grill plate locks into place.
Same with the top. There's little tabs at the bottom of the top plate.
Yeah, now that works the same way with the top plates, except the difference is that the button is on the right on the top of the grill. And to take the top plate out, and it's on the left for the bottom plate, which kind of makes sense. Now, one thing you can do with this grill, and this is the really neat part about this grill. You know, we talked about the dimensions of the grill plates, each one of the grill plates. And so if it's, Chris, what is the dimension of the grill when it's the grill plate itself?
It's 13 by 10.
13 by 10. Now, you can open this grill up out flat. And so you have both plates laying down flat. And if you do that, then you're going to double that, because you've got two cooking surfaces.
Then you can grill open, like if you just want to grill without closing it. Like maybe you just want to grill some onions and mushrooms quick, or maybe you want to make pancakes on both of those flat plates. You could open it and have a lot more surface to use.
It's pretty amazing. Now, the way that you open this grill out flat is you're going to, what I'm going to do is pull this grill out just a little bit.
You may have to turn it sideways because of our counter.
Yeah, because I have it front to back against from the front of our counter to the wall. So, but if I want it opened out flat, I would have to turn it sideways because I need more room. We just don't have the counter space. So all you have to do to get the grill to lay flat is you come up to, you want the top of the grill, and there is that slide control. Now, that slide control on the right hand side on the top of the grill, where I said there was a little ridge and then you had this slide control, it does a couple things. Number one, when you close the grill, if you move the slide control forward or backwards, that decides how far you want the grill to close, the top plate to come down again. Like if you have a thick steak or something like that.
Or if you're grilling fish or something delicate that you don't want smashed.
Right. So you can sort of lift the lid just a little bit, and the slide control has little clicks on it. I'm counting with it stopped, with forward, one, two, two and a half clicks. Okay, so that's one of the purposes of that slide control. So that if I like I have it one click, and it probably gave me about, the lid comes down within about an inch of the bottom plate. The top grill plate comes down about an inch away from the bottom grill plate. So now we talked about that part of that same slide control. Now, if you want to open this grill out flat, what you do is you open the grill, you lift the handle on the grill, make sure that the slide control is forward as far as it'll go, and then you take one hand on the handle and the other hand on the slide control, and you pull forward. And when you do that, it's spring loaded. If you notice when the slide control stops, and if you push it again, it sort of is spring loaded. And if you hold it so that you're pulling it towards the front of the grill with like maybe the thumb on that ridge that's sticking out, it just sticks out, it just looks like a little finger, it sticks out, and you put a thumb on there and your other fingers on the slide control and just sort of pull it forward. And as you pull it forward, then you can lift the top with the handle and turn your grill maybe sideways so you've got the space, because you're going to be doubling the space of the grill. And then you can just fold that back until it goes clear down and rests so that's even with the bottom plate.
You're going to need about 23 inches of space, because even though the plates are just 10, you've got about 3 inches where that handle sticks out from the top of the grill, so you need about 23 inches of space to lay it flat.
Okay, so all I'm going to do now is, because I don't want it open, because we're not going to use it out flat, because we're just going to use, we have two grill plates of the, you know, we said originally it came with a flat one and rib type, which puts the grill marks on your stuff, plate. So we've got two plates, and what Chris and I did was we had bought the extra set of plates, and so I'm using two rib plates. Well, Chris is going to be using two rib plates. Now, of course, it's got a power cord, and we did plug the grill in. And one thing that's really nice about this grill, when the grill heats up, you will get a beep, and it's pretty loud. So that's pretty amazing. And so the first thing we're going to do is Chris is going to go to the far right knob on the front of the grill and turn that. And Chris, maybe you can describe a little bit about as far, because there's no...
Okay, give me a second to wash my hands.
Okay. Okay, the first thing Chris did was she put just a little bit of oil, not Pam or anything, because you definitely don't want to do that.
No, I just took oil and just put it a little in my hand and just wiped it on there.
And because of where this knob is, it's very difficult to mark it. Now, we can get an idea of, and which we did, of where some of the temperature, where to turn the knob, because the knob does have kind of a pointer on it. And, you know, because the knob is, it's a round knob, but it's got a rectangle part of the knob that's towards you. So, Chris, you could take it from here.
Okay, I'm going to close the grill. And the pointer part of the knob actually has a little slot in it where you can feel a slot. That's the pointer part of the knob. I'm going to turn it to about 340.
Okay, whereabouts is it with the pointer?
340, the pointer is at 3 o'clock. If you want 350, it's about 330, but I don't want quite that. I'm going to turn it back a little to about 330. You can sear. This also has sear on it.
If you turn it the whole way up, it's sear.
Yeah.
Okay, so what we'll do is it's going to take, probably about 3 minutes for the grill.
The sensors in this grill, they're in the plates themselves.
The elements are actually in the plates, which is really amazing because that gives you a lot more even heat when you have the elements built into the plates.
Right now, I am putting salt and a little bit of pepper on the steaks. I usually use some smoky salt, but we are out of smoky salt, so...
You can put whatever you want on the steaks.
You can marinate them. Sometimes I will marinate them in Worcestershire sauce or whatever. You can do anything you want. You can marinate them in a little bit of soy sauce, or you can use anything, just whatever. See, you can use salt-free seasoning, that sodium-free. You can use this blend my mom used to use called Nature Seasoning.
Or steak sauce. Or,
yeah, you could marinate them in steak sauce.
So we're waiting now for the grill itself to heat up.
What I generally do is just some salt and some pepper. You could use a little onion powder, a little garlic powder.
Now, you want to let the grill close until before. You don't want to put the steaks on until the grill is actually heated up. It heats the top and the bottom a little more even if you leave the grill closed while you're heating the grill.
The nice thing about the elements being in the plates is, it, according to the manual, it senses when you put something cold on there and gives you a little extra heat.
So it's really cool the way this grill works. We've had a lot of grills and different kinds of grills. And
I like the George Foreman Evolve. I like it just fine. This one is a little bigger, and it's actually probably better built. It's a heavy-duty grill. There's the beep right there.
Okay, and it did beep, which means that the grill is hot.
Now I'm going to...
Chris is going to...
Put the steaks on, and you'll hear the sizzle. I'm going to open it up. And it's hot in there.
Putting the steaks on the grill now. Two nice, great big steaks.
Steaks from Sam's. I'm going to close the grill. And we wait. Okay. Now I'm going to do the timer for 7 minutes.
You want me to do it?
You can do it.
Okay. Chris is going to show you how the left knob. Remember, we have two knobs, one on the right, one on the left. And
they're kind of close together. They're just a few inches apart.
Okay, the timer knob is a spring-loaded knob, so all she's going to do is flick it, you know, turn it real quick once.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and I'm going to push the center. And it should be set.
She pressed the button. Now, that, as I said before, does not control the grill. All so, that is a timer, which is kind of nice because if you're not using the grill, you could actually use that timer.
Yeah, you can use it for other things. Just be aware that when that timer goes off,
it doesn't turn it off.
It's still cooking on there. So
you have to manually use the right knob on the front of the grill to turn it off. You turn it counterclockwise till it stops and it'll be off. So right now the steaks are on the grill and we're just, it's just zero in there. Check out the noise of the sizzling of the steaks on the grill. Yeah. And they're pretty good sized steaks. So we got our steaks from Sam's Club. Well, those double beeps meant that the steaks are done.
Obviously, we paused the recording.
Yeah, we did have the recorder paused, and I turned it back on quickly, hopefully, to capture those beeps. And Chris removed the steaks from the grill, and we got nice, juicy, thick steaks.
It's best to wipe the grill while it's still warm. You don't want to use any metal scratchers or SOS pads or steel wool on it. You want to use something plastic. They make scrapers for the George Foreman. They actually work just fine. But you can also use this, a scrub daddy or a plastic scrubber or a sponge or a cloth, whatever you've got, but nothing metal and nothing abrasive. So if you need a little soap, just put a little dishwashing soap on your cloth and rub it on. The plates are also dishwasher safe. So you can, my suggestion, what I always do is I just wipe them down and then I put them in the dishwasher.
It's an amazing grill. It really is. Chris, do you want to give the information about the product?
You know,
again?
One thing we didn't talk about was the grease pan.
Oh, that's right. Now, let me walk. Well,
It just pulls out from the front like a drawer.
This is down at the very bottom of the front of the grill. There is a tray. It's like a little drawer, and you pull that out to empty the grease, because when you're grilling, it's best to use that right knob on the bottom right-hand side. The bottom right-hand side of the grill, there's a big knob towards the back of the grill, and you want to make sure that you turn that so that the grill is slanted towards the back, which allows the grease and stuff like that to go into this grease tray that's underneath. So
if you have it out flat, both sides drain into the same grease tray.
Right.
And there's finger holes. You can tell where to pull it out from. It's just a drawer with a big, long, skinny pan on the end of it.
And that's what captures all that grease and stuff, as opposed to a lot of the other grills that just have a little grease tray that you have to worry about it sliding around and stuff like that. Well, this way, that drawer just goes into the bottom of the grill on the front. If you have the tray out, there's a big slot. You can definitely tell where that grease tray goes, and you just push it in until it stops.
Until it clicks and stops, it'll click into place.
So, Chris, do you want to give the information about the product one more time?
This is a Breville Smart Grill. It's model B as in Bravo, G as in Golf, R as in Romeo, 820XL. So that's BGR820XL. Breville is spelled B-R-E-V-I-L-L-E. You can go to Breville.com and look at all the stuff they have. This is an 1800-watt grill. Breville's phone number, should you want to speak with them, is 866-273-8455. That's 866-273-8455. And these grills are available at Amazon. They're available at Breville. They're very likely available at Kohl's and Macy's, although I haven't checked those two out, but I'm sure they have them because they have all the other good brands. And when we bought it, it was $239. I saw this morning that it's on Amazon now for $299. So you'll have to shop around a little bit. And the extra plates, they're about $30 a piece, I believe. $25 to $30 a piece.
And they are nonstick.
And they are heavy.
Yeah, definitely heavy-duty plates. Well, one of the things that makes it a little heavier is because it does have the heating elements built into the plates. So now that we are finished with the grill, and we did clean the grill up, just wiped it off and everything, and we emptied the grease tray, although it didn't really have a whole lot of grease in it, but we emptied it, and so that's all cleaned up. And then the next thing you want to do is, if you want to stand the grill back up, then what you want to do is you come up to the top of the grill over on the right-hand side, and you want to find that slide control on the far right that we talked about earlier, and you want to put your thumb on the little ridge that's sticking out and a couple of fingers on the slide control. Push it towards the back with the grill closed, push it towards the back. It's only going to move like maybe not even a quarter of an inch probably. And that will lock that lid so that you can take the handle and you can stand that grill up so that the grill is upright instead of sitting flat on your countertop or table or wherever you had the grill. And that's really all there is to it. The grill does a perfect job. It did a perfect job on the steaks we just made. And we're going to have steak and baked potatoes and mushrooms for the steak and all that kind of good stuff. Anyway, that's how the unit works. Does what it's told. And if you have any questions, you can also email Bill Sparks at bill@billsparks.org. That's bill@billsparks.org.
Or if you have any questions or comments about this particular item during this live broadcast, you may reach us directly by dialing or by calling 646-558-8656. That's 646-558-8656. When you are asked for a meeting ID, enter 848-725-450. That's 848-725-450. Press pound. You will be asked for a user ID. Press pound again, and you will be here in the Zoom room with us.
Well, that's all the time we have for this demo. Everyone have a great week, and stay tuned next time for another exciting demo.
And that was a very exciting demo. That's all I can say. That's a great grill.
Yeah, it sure is. It does exactly what it's supposed to do. It's nice and heavy, though.
And I got, and we'll get there in a second.
Yeah, I remember getting that grill out of necessity in Florida. You remember that, don't you?
The other one just got out of sync too many times, and it was just not going to work.
So this one answered the bell and then some.
Well, it's built so heavy. I mean, you should be able to use it for a long time. And I like the handle on the front.
Looks like we got, is it you, Ellen, or Joe, that has a question?
Actually, it was...
Okay.
You're still muted.
Okay, I've got it fixed.
Oh, thank you. Hi, this is Joe. I just want to mention quickly that Exciting Life of Joe Sorensen, Volume 1, is now available on audio format, read by me, Joe Sorensen. You can get it by going to authorhouse.com/bookstore.
Well, very, very good. Thank you, Joe. Be sure to check that out. Anyone on the panel have any discussion about the grill? Tim?
It just does a good job.
Yeah, it does an exceptionally good job. This is a grill that actually Doug Hunsinger turned me on to. That he said that he got.
Kind of sounds like something I should have bought because our George Foreman is not nearly big enough.
George Foreman's a good grill, but I just like I say, one of the things that sells me on this one is the way the grease tray goes in. Because, if you put it in, you're not going to miss. And it doesn't seem to leak around the outside of the grill.
Yeah, it just works. There is more size. And like I said, the issue, now Dave built a tray that, they customized to put their George Foreman under. And that will work. But it is a problem with grease, or I don't know. Whatever I would do wrong with the George Foreman, I would...
Well, it just moves. It's nothing that you do wrong. If you don't have it in just the right place, even when you open the grill, you can push that grease tray out from under it.
I really didn't have much trouble with it even before the tray, but it is nice to have it clicked into place. It really is. You can bump it with your elbow or anything. I mean, you know, it's easy to move, like she said.
Without even trying, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
What we did was we put, when we used the George Foreman, we put the we put it on a tray,
yeah.
And then the drip tray is in the tray, so it can't go anywhere. That's how we eliminated that problem.
Well, you know, I noticed the only thing that I ever had a problem with that grill on the Breville was when we were down in Florida. I cooked some humongous chicken breast, and I thought, though they worked, it worked okay. But I thought maybe there would have been some better ways that I could have cooked.
They
that
were perfect.
Chicken.
I don't know why you still keep complaining about those chicken breasts. They were good. Oh. They were cooked. It was done.
You can also take a mallet. They make mallets, and they're not that expensive. They're meat mallets, and you can, if you want it to cook evenly all the way across, if you have one piece of breast, like one side that's really thick, you can beat it with the meat mallet and spread it out a little bit.
Yeah, they're tenderizers. Is what
that they are. Takes away my frustration. Pound, pound,
there you go,
pound.
See?
You don't have to hit it real hard, though.
Mom used to do it with the edge of a glass, but you got to make sure you have a really good glass.
Well,
yeah.
Don't do like I did and take a knife and cut right through a plate.
Remember that.
Yeah, I did that.
Yeah, the meat planner. He just cut right through it.
We should have a funniest audio from Bill's part.
Well, probably we could all do some of it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, we could
I'm
all
afraid
do
to give him a meat mallet. He's liable to...
I think one of the worst things I ever did was, speaking of one of the grills, was it at the grill? No, it was the Instant Pot where the cord got burnt in two in the middle, and I was touching the bare wire, and I was going, oh!
That was scary. Yeah, we were on the phone.
We were listening when that happened.
He was not as alert as what we would have liked at that moment, because that was kind of scary.
It's funny now, but it wasn't then.
Oh, you should have heard it zapping.
Wow. Yeah.
I was just thinking maybe Bill ought to just run a recorder all the time when he's cooking.
You know, it is an adventure. But
my favorite one was still the popcorn.
Which one? The popcorn? The time I said, called Chris and Dave and said, this popcorn popper is not working. I just can't understand why.
It's a new popcorn. I put the oil in it and everything and turned it on.
And what was the problem? I forgot the popcorn.
Forgot to put the popcorn in.
I wonder why it wasn't popping. I mean, the little minor things, but hey, if you don't ever do anything, you never make mistakes, right?
That's right.
I can make those mistakes anytime.
If you cook enough, you're going to make some.
Make some, but then I don't need to make yours, mine, Dave's, Jennifer's, whoever, you know, I can make those mistakes, but not putting the popcorn in was a real, 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 real problem, but I've noticed.
It was like when we were doing the demo here a week or so ago, and the grinder flew off the mixer and upset the mixer and knocked the bowl on the floor.
I mean,
what I want to know is, did Thunder laugh?
No.
I thought maybe she'd laugh at you.
We have a lot of trouble with her. I don't know if you heard, if you all heard her. We were downstairs and she was upstairs. We had no control over her. Usually I can keep her quiet with nuts or cookies or something, but she was mail chiming for all she was worth and sirening for all she was worth. Carrot really showing out.
It didn't pick up much of that.
No, it didn't.
I
didn't.
Heard her pounding, I think.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, she was banging on the cage. Anyway, in the next demo, let's see.
Oh, no, that's the one I was thinking about.
Yeah, the next demo for next week. You will hear her.
There's no way we can
get rid of it.
We were downstairs where the meat slicer is, and she was upstairs in the kitchen. We have the meat slicer on a cart in the laundry room because we have a sink down there now, and so we do the slicing down there just because there's more room and we don't have a place for it upstairs anymore.
With all your gadgets, one of the week we'll just do a demo on what, because of your limited counter space, what makes your counter space, and you'll explain why those particular items made.
They have to fight for counter space here.
Fight for
counter. They do here too.
Yeah, we do have to do that. Chris, we've got any recipes that you've made for this week, or do you?
Well, I have a recipe. I haven't made it in a while, but I do have a recipe for this week. It is called Campbell's Pepper Steak. It's a recipe put out by Campbell's Soup, and it 3 tablespoons of cornstarch, 1¾ cups of beef broth or beef stock, 1 tablespoon soy sauce. You don't have to use that, but you could substitute Worcestershire or probably even water. 1/4 teaspoon of garlic powder or 1 clove of garlic minced. 1 pound of boneless beef sirloin steak cut into 3/4 inch thick, cut into very thin strips. And to get that into very thin strips, you can freeze it for 1 hour, and it's a lot easier to make the strips thin. 1 large red or green bell pepper cut into 2-inch-long strips, or about 2 cups. 1 medium onion cut into very thin wedges or thinly sliced. And 1 cup of long grain rice cooked according to the package directions. And you know, you might want a little more rice than that, but anyway, you stir the cornstarch, broth, soy sauce, garlic powder together in a small bowl until the mixture is smooth. Then you stir fry the beef in a 10-inch nonstick skillet over medium-high heat until it is well done, and it should mostly be browned by then. And it doesn't take that long because your meat is thin. But be sure you stir often and pour off any fat. Then you reduce the heat to medium, add the pepper and onions, stir in the cornstarch mixture, and cook and stir until the mixture boils and thickens some. And you just serve the beef mixture over the rice.
Boy, that's sounding good.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
That sounds good.
Do you, is that something you cook very often, or is that?
No, we don't make it often, and I guess the reason they call it Campbell's is because it technically says Swanson's beef broth, but I omitted that. But Swanson is a Campbell's brand, so.
So, that's why it's in, and of course that will be posted to the mailing list. So if you need to read that recipe, you most certainly can. It's one of those recipes that actually works quite well. Any special things, you know, we talked about this Breville grill that you cook in the grill, you cook pork chops, I mean, you cook steaks, and suppose you could cook boneless or bone-in pork chops.
Oh, you could. You could do chicken. You could flatten the grill and do all kinds of
hamburgers
or saute mushrooms. Well, you could do hamburgers flattened or not flattened.
Or pancakes.
Pancakes, yeah. You could flatten it and use the flat plates and do pancakes on both sides. Or if you were just one person, you could do pancakes on one side on a flat plate, and you could do bacon on the other side. Of course, you'd need to turn your bacon. But you could use the grill plate for sausage or bacon, either one.
And if you want Dave Rickard size pancakes, you just fold the grill out flat, and you got 2 surfaces, and you can put a whole bunch of.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that would that would take a Dave Rickard.
Oh, and you've done bacon on that grill too, Bill.
I've done bacon.
Yeah, we did too.
Now there might be other ways to cook bacon, but I mean that worked. You know, it really worked. I'm coming around to the belief now. I've seen some conflicting things on this, and maybe you can correct me, because gosh knows I need it. it's not always, you know, when I cook the steaks, I just cranked it up to whatever it was, 450, 4, whatever, and just seared them the whole way. But some people that really know cooking tell me it's better to cook them about 330, 350. And then if you want to sear them, then, you know, you can for a few minutes. Or is it better to sear at the beginning and then back it down if you're going to sear?
The purpose of searing is to lock in the juices. So if you're going to sear, I would think the best thing to do would be sear at the beginning while the juices are all still there. I personally like them better cooked all the way at a lower heat, but that's just a personal preference kind of thing.
We have another person on there, Bill?
Yeah, we do.
Raise their hand.
We do have a... If you want to speak, just if you called in, do a *9 to raise your hand. And we will be glad to acknowledge you. If you just got on the line to listen, that's fine too.
And by the way, for those people who are join the Coffee Club mailing list, or rather the Legend Announce mailing list, when I send out the Coffee Club information, there are a couple of codes in there for the phone. And that's one of them.
Right.
Now they've raised their hand.
Now they've raised their hand. So I got a feeling it might be Gail, but I don't know because we can't tell by these phone numbers anymore the way they scramble them. But go right ahead, Colin.
Yep, it's me. Yep,
oh,
it's me.
I guessed right. That's unusual. Good morning to you.
I won't keep you long, but I'm noticing, Bill, on your title bar, it says something about Christmas. There's a there's a Christmas song or something up there, and it's stuck there.
Not to worry about that, because that will be fixed after the show. There's some issue with my particular stream and the titles, so we're going to have that fixed. I thought maybe it was fixed before the show, but it's stuck, and it will be fixed.
I didn't want to interrupt your train of thought, but I just want to kind of...
No.
But anyway, I'm going to get going anyway. But
I'm going
to
try this. Hold on.
And Happy New Year and everything like that there.
Same to you.
And have a great day, too.
Hey, Gail, before you go...
Yeah?
Let me try something here just a second.
Okay.
Let me just try something.
Sure.
And maybe this will fix it. Hold on just a... Let's just play this one more time. We need to give Pam all the plugs she wants. Hold on.
Hi, this is Pam Stevens, inviting you to join us each week for the Legend Country Club as we bring you 3 hours of classic country music. Join us this week as we go back to 1977.
But I was thinking...
to the Legend Country Club with me, Pam Stevens, Friday from 6 to 9 p.m. right here on the home of forgotten favorites, the Worldwide Legend.
Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern, it's the Tim Ani Show for 2 big hours right here on The Legend. Tim will let you know how you can request your favorite song. And during the second hour, Radio Tim counts down the top 10 songs from this week in 1967. Don't miss it. The Tim Ani Show, Thursday night, 8 p.m. Eastern on The Worldwide Legend.
I can't say if that fixed the problem. I tried something. We will see. I'm Tim, the MP3 policeman, will let me know if that title bar has changed, Gail, and if it has, let me know.
I can either leave a message on the listener line or send you an email.
It did not change it. So,
no.
But
you might have your carts so that they don't show the title, so it might not have.
Right, so we're going to fix the problem, Gail. So it's never a problem you pointing that out. because
I was either going to call and leave a message on the 800 line or call here, and I thought, well, why not take advantage of a good thing?
Hey, it's okay. It's okay, and I'm glad you did because...
Hey, Bill, in Chicago.
Like I said, you everyone have a happy and blessed New Year and that kind of thing, and thank you, Radio Tim, for your help that Thursday night with my internet. It was, it was crazy that night, that day. But everything is great now. I'm streaming everything. Everything's streaming just fine.
That's an outage. And that happens with all of us. Okay, thanks, Gail. Bill in Chicago. Go ahead.
Hey, Bill. Bill, since Gail is on there, I know she's a big follower of your music stuff. Remember at the beginning of the show, she wasn't on there. And I told you that radio station Chicago played the top 60 all-time Christmas music.
Yeah, but hold your thought on this.
Does she know what the number one and number two songs were all-time forever?
No.
Okay,
Gail, but wait a minute, Bill. We've got somebody in. Give me a second here.
Am I confusing you?
No, you're not at all, Gail. What I'm saying is there's somebody in Minnesota who sent in a guess, and I'm going to go read them. Hold on just a second here, Bill. Hold that thought.
Yeah, go ahead.
While I give David Myers. Let me get my mail back here. He wrote this in. And we'll see what his guess is. So give me just a second here. Just a second.
Do you know, Dave? I bet you know what it is.
I think we know what one of them is.
I have one guess, yeah.
I have a couple of guesses, too.
I have a guess for one of them, but...
Yeah, me too, but not the other one.
Okay, here's David's, and okay, Chris, you go with you.
We think one of them might be White Christmas.
You're right on that one. Would it be number one or two?
Probably one.
Okay, David Myers has these requests, and you've heard David before on here. A good friend of Tim's from Minneapolis, D.C., Chicago. Let's see, Dave wants... Let's see what he gets. He votes number one as White Christmas and number two as and Santa Baby. So that's Dave Myers' suggestions. Tim, do you have any?
I was wrong because my number one choice was a Christmas song.
Yeah, I was singing Nat King Cole's Christmas song and then Bing Crosby.
Yeah, and then but, White Christmas was my number two thought. The other thought I had is Rockin' Around the Christmas Tree.
So Mr. Bill in Chicago.
Okay. All right, number two was the Nat King Cole Christmas song.
Yeah.
And his daughter, somewhere in the mid-90s, she put it out because they played that also. Because where they had a film like that, they played back-to-back. And number one was White Christmas. But the number, guess what the number seven song was of all time? Now, they based this on sheet music, albums, CDs, requests on radio, TV play, internet play, everything. They did this whole big survey.
And Jingle Bell Rock.
No, Jingle Bell Rock was number three, I think. Number seven was Grandma Got Run Over the Reindeer.
I can make that number 77.
I used to go nuts at Christmas.
That one. I don't know where that was on there, but I don't remember because I just taped the top five real quick, the title, because it was on for 6 hours.
Or the TTA. That thing is
true,
too.
Yeah, anyway,
I really should get going, but thank you, everybody. And like I said, have a great, wonderful afternoon.
All right, well, we'll work on title bars. I guarantee it.
Just so you know, Bill, it's 10:58.
Oh, okay, 10:58. Thank you, Gail.
I got a question for Bill in Chicago. Mm-hmm. Where did Silent Night fall in?
Word what?
Silent Night.
Oh, they didn't. There was really no religious ones. There was no.
Really?
These are all popular songs. They didn't do any religious.
Okay. Where did Rudolph fall in?
It was like, it was in the top 10. I forget where it was now, but it was in the top 10.
And Frosty?
Frosty, no, I don't remember where that one was. I got a question to ask Joe and Ellen real quick. You guys live in Albuquerque, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I own a property south of Balloon.
Oh, okay.
Out there in Rancho Rio or whatever it's called.
Well, there you go.
Rio.
Yeah.
Rancho. Right.
All right, guys, it's time to start wrapping it up here on Thank you for all your participation. You always make it fun. We'll be back next week with some new topics and new subjects and new things. It'll be the day before we leave for Florida, but we'll be here. And fortunately,
the
we got
next week's topic will be how to keep Bill from getting stuck at the airport.
Right.
He's going to Florida if he can get on the plane.
If I can get on the plane, that's the key issue.